Glory be to God, the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. That which you bind on earth, bound in heaven. That which you loose is loosed. What's he talking about? I believe he's actually talking about us, the church, the Gentiles, we who have been brought in. Up until then, there was a lot of disagreement about the place of the Gentile, but Abraham received the promise from God that in his seed, singular, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was to come, Messiah of the world, even Gentiles such as we, would come to know the truth of God's grace, mercy, and love, and be brought into his kingdom, and be promised our eternal reward in heaven. But we're not going to think about that. Today we're thinking about cluster. This is the lectionary reading for the day, and I thought, in fairness, I should really stick to the lectionary reading. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity, it says in Psalm 133, verse 1. It's set in terms of not political unity, but of religious unity, a community of faith, a community, an ecclesia called out, set apart, belonging to God, a people at worship, serving God in their daily life. It says, it's there that oil is poured upon the head of Aaron, and it runs down his head, down his beard, down his garments. And it's speaking here of not just chip pan oil, but refined, special oil, exotic oil, extravagant oil. Reminds you of that anointing in Jesus, doesn't it? Where Judas says, why have you wasted such expensive perfume? But you know, God lavishes us with his perfume, with his love, and with his oil, the oil of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is poured upon the ecclesia. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of life, gives life to you and to me and to God's church. And woe betide us if we forget that. If we try to be church without the Holy Ghost, then we truly are not church. But this oil of anointing, this Holy Spirit that is poured upon the church and indeed birthed the church at Pentecost, is extravagantly given to the point where all can experience it. And it's messy. Oh my, is it messy. Can you imagine what Aaron looked like? I can imagine his wife giving him a tick off. You know, look at this garment. How are we going to get this oil out? You know, no, I'm sure they hung it up. I'm sure they said it's special. I'm sure they smelt it. Like that young couple that had the water turned into wine. I don't think they guzzled what was left over. I think it was bottled and brought out in every anniversary. Corked, drank, cheers. Jesus is with us. In the midst, bringing blessing. That's another symbol or emblem of the promise of the Spirit that was going to be given later at Pentecost. No, it's messy. Pentecost was messy. All the languages that were being said, people looked drunk. There was not organized worship. It wasn't liturgical, was it? Not my Bible. They were staggering about. And everyone that came was saying, what is going on? This is shameful. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Look at the state of them. Well, it's not quite 9 o'clock in the morning. It's a bit later than that. But you know, I can't see the church really being church unless it truly is messy. And we are messy. I know there's such a thing as messy church, and I don't mean that. I just mean we've not got it all together. Has everybody got every I dotted and every T crossed? Everyone? Anyone? No, we're messy. We're messy. But God is working in the midst of the mess to bring a miracle into being called the church, to work in our life. It's costly. This oil that was poured upon Aaron, this oil that was poured upon Christ, yes, that was costly. But this giving of grace to us is costly. It cost our Father his Son. Let's not forget it. It is costly to receive the Spirit. It is extravagant, and it demonstrates, and this is the most amazing thing, our value. That's what I was trying to show the boys and girls. We're not in a disposable age. We can't dispose of anybody. All are precious. All the souls here. But what about the souls out there that have to be brought into the kingdom? God says they're precious. They're my beloved. They're my children and they don't know me. make me known. And that's the church's job. The Haggadah declares, two drops of the sacred anointing of oil remained forever upon Aaron's beard like two pearls as an image of reconciliation and peace. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Two eternal beads of oil on his beard, symbolizing reconciliation and peace. That's church, isn't it? That's grace. That's the cross. That's where we stand before God. These lovely pearls of anointing are there for everyone. The point of the comparison that has been shown here isn't so much the preciousness of the oil, neither is it its fragrance, but this fact that it's poured upon the head, but it doesn't stay there. It pours down. It goes right through the man. And it's the same with the church. Everyone in the church has to be, if you like, immersed in the Spirit. Everyone in the church is to know that refreshing that only God can give. And that's why the psalmist said it's like the refreshing dew coming down from Mount Hermon. Now, the beard is naturally allowed to grow, apparently, according to Leviticus 21:5. The natural, when it meets the supernatural, changes. I believe Aaron's beard was never the same again. People would swear by the beard of Aaron. It was never the same again. Because he encountered God, and I think anyone that encounters the Spirit of God is never the same again. The Bible says you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away and the new has come. You know God's refreshing through the Spirit. And it's something we need daily to be refreshed in the Spirit of God. It's something we have to sustain and trust God for and ask God for. And it's something that should be spread through the proclamation of God's word and through faith. I hope you leave here stirred up, shaken, encouraged, so that you can go and be an encourager and a blesser. Encourage others too. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says that two journey together. And what a blessing if they can journey together and in their agreement. Bear in mind, this is our pulpit exchange for the cluster. We are on a journey together as a cluster. A friend of mine, known to some of you, David Gibson, the funeral director, and his son Daniel decided to go on a 26-mile expedition by canoe from Perth down to Tayport, where they live. Now, Daniel has special needs, and they were hoping to raise money for for one of the charities that Daniel benefits from. It's actually called, I'm just trying to look, Options for Life. Options for Life, and they raised quite a lot of money to support that local charity. It's based in St. Andrews, and they trust they'll get more support. Daniel is a strong young man, unlike David. I shouldn't really say that. But Daniel was paddling for all his might well ahead of David, and David is shouting, Daniel, slow up! You know, Daniel was keen to get the job done. They had waypoints that they had to drop in on because Mum had made some food for them to strengthen them. And if you know her, you'll know that the food's really good. So David was really thinking, food, good, you know, looking forward to it. They had 10 other canoeists come and help them as well, and they were canoeing down the river with them. Now, all that time, Daniel was keen to do all he could for the charity, and he was focused on the end goal, Tayport. But Daniel really needed the guidance of his dad, David, who knew where the sandbanks were, who knew where the shallow water was, who knew where the dangers were, but more to the point, who knew where the food was and where the water was and where you could come in. And David was looking for navigation points as he was going down that river, down that journey. And he would call Daniel and the others, and they would go in, refresh themselves, and head on the rest of the journey. Now, I believe that navigation depends, to a large extent, on the existence of fixed points. The fixed point can be anything from a star to a lighthouse or some landmark. And I think the same is true of our Christian journey. Our fixed point, one of them, is the Word of God, the Bible. Heaven help us if we eject it, if we discard it, because we're all at sea, no pun intended. We get lost. We need the anchor here of this. But we also need the anchor of fellowship of like-minded believers and of fraternal. And that's why the cluster could actually offer to us something that could be very strong and mighty and keep us on course. We also need prayer. As a group of people, we should be praying for one another and supporting each other. And we'll be doing that shortly. But we also need praise and celebration. And I think that's what we're looking forward to on Wednesday, isn't it? And I hope many of you will come, not because the moderator's here, but because God is here. When we gather together and are in agreement, God is in the midst. What we want to achieve tomorrow, some anonymous person said, will determine what we need to do today. Let me explain it this way. On April the 14th, 1912, a catastrophe occurred. The Titanic hit an iceberg and began to sink. A woman who managed to get to a lifeboat said to the crew of the lifeboat, "There's something I need to get." And they said, "You've got 2 minutes to get it." And she ran for all she was worth back to her cabin, jumping over jewelry and precious money and everything that had been discarded, to run to her room. And there she picked up three things. You'll never believe what it was she picked up. Three oranges. Three oranges. Her money didn't matter. Her clothing didn't matter. Her jewelry didn't matter. But she knew she could be in that lifeboat for quite a wee while. Three oranges became the focus of her attention to sustain her life. I believe we've got three oranges, and I believe these three oranges are important. It's to make Jesus known, it's to make disciples, and it's to make a difference. Because when all else is put aside, that's the three things that really regulate our life as church. Making Jesus known, making disciples, who will make a difference in this world today. That's my three oranges. I wonder what your three would be. Jesus, he says, will be amongst us in Matthew 18:20 of our reading. It's a very special word, that idea, that concept of God in the midst. Because what we're actually thinking of is the Shekinah. Have you heard that word before? The Shekinah, the glory of God. The word Shekinah is not there in the Bible, but it's inferred. In Isaiah 60 and verse 2, it says, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us." Wouldn't that be great? Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let us shine. Let us give God praise in all we do. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. A bright cloud covered those that went up into the Mount of Transfiguration. And a voice comes from the cloud and said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." They were in the glory. They were in the glory. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the little shepherds on the hillside, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Paul in Romans 9 says, "I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship." Now listen. "Theirs is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. How his heart grieves that the glory of the Lord is not amongst his people. How his heart grieves for them, and how our hearts grieve for the Kirk. How our hearts grieve for the church. How our hearts grieve for Scotland, that the glory of the Lord isn't amongst us. We want the glory of the Lord, don't you? I want the glory of the Lord. And I know the glory of the Lord has only come where two or more are gathered together and are in agreement, journeying along the way. And that's what cluster's about. That's what church is about. Making Jesus known, making disciples, making a difference, journeying in faith. Two or three form the true church. May outwardly not look much, and we don't look much, let's be honest, we're not bursting at the seams. But does that matter? Where two or more are gathered in agreement, that's the true church. That's where the glory of God can be. That's where blessings can come. Something good and pleasant happens, I believe, when we journey together. The glory of the Lord is manifest in our midst. Let's make a lovely noise then for Jesus in all of our faith communities, whether it be in Lookers, whether it be in Tayport, whether it be here in Newport, in Wormit, in the Galdry or Balmerino or Creeflisk and Kilmeny. Let's set an example to the Kirk. Why not? Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let us pray. Father, this is a challenging word. It challenges us in our differences to put them aside. It challenges us in our hurts and in our divisions. Forgive us. We want to be a community of faith, bringing honor and glory to you. We want your glory to be here. And I pray that that will be the case, even in Jesus' name. Amen.